wanted to get more information on it. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
I sure can. So when we started hearing about the tariff, the likelihood of tariffs, you know, it sort of started probably in earnest in April, and then the tariffs, the first U.S. tariffs were put in place on July 6th, and that's when the Chinese put their retaliatory tariffs on soybeans. And I think we all thought, well, we were probably hopeful at that point in time that it would be a short-lived thing. But I think today, my opinion would be that it is, you know, it could change at any time, but we better plan for this to be a long thing. I think especially given the complexity of the overall situation between China and the U.S., it's much bigger than soybeans, and there's much at stake. And I think this is going to take some time for the two sides to work out. So in the meantime, we launched an initiative internally called the What It Takes Initiative. What it takes, meaning what it takes to keep exports out of the U.S. about the same as they were last year without China. So just to put it in perspective, of our total exports of soy, so soybeans, soybean meal, and soybean oil, in the 16-17 marketing year, China was 50%. In the 17-18 marketing year that just finished, they were 40%. We project that in the 18 marketing year, the marketing year that just started a month or so ago, they'll be less than 5%. 50%, 40%, less than 5%. So a huge shock to the system, and a huge shock to our what our industry has gotten used to in terms of marketing plan. So our team has been really busy working with exporters, because we don't sell anything, but working with the U.S. exporters to help ensure that we're helping them in any market where they have potential customers, and then working with importers around the world to make sure they are aware of all of the attributes and possibilities that U.S. soy holds for them. So it's our What It Takes initiative. That's what we're up to.
Interesting. What kind of reaction have you gotten so far from people overseas?
Many of them are somewhat familiar with U.S. soy. There are not very many markets where they've never purchased U.S. soy. There are a few. But most markets are saying, well, you know, U.S. has to be competitive. And we like to mix our suppliers up and have some supply from North America, some supply from South America. You know, the usual sort of things that buyers would tell you. But right now, we have the situation where U.S. soy is also priced competitively. In fact, I've been telling people U.S. soy is on sale. You know, it's kind of like a year-end sale. And I think that's because the marketplace is trying to get its arms around what's going to happen with all this U.S. soy without China. And I think until we demonstrate to the market, until the market starts to feel comfortable that, hey, there is a home for all this U.S. soy, despite the situation with China, the spread that we have today between U.S. and Brazilian prices, U.S. and really all other origin, but mainly Brazil, is going to stay very wide. So U.S. prices are helping us in this effort. To my surprise, they're not doing it all by themselves. So our team is really working at this. But I think international buyers are quite interested. We see a problem with the Pacific Northwest because the PNW has 80% of their exports at least have been China focused. And, you know, over the last 10 years, that's really built up to be a large market with lots of soybeans being, you know, more soybeans being produced in the upper Midwest, those soybeans mainly focused to go to the PNW to ultimately go to China. And as we see this situation with China, it really puts them in a difficult spot because, you know, that's been their market. So now today they don't have a market. So we've been focusing really on trying to get other customers to come to the Pacific Northwest, been successful with Taiwan purchasing some PNW beans for the first time in 15 years, doing a lot of work with other Asian countries that would be the most logical destinations for those beans. But, you know, historically those beans have gone to China and those other buyers have purchased somewhere else, so they have existing supply chains. So we're having to kind of help reconfigure those, and we're doing a lot of advertising or promotion of the PNW beans, because otherwise those PNW beans just back up around the whole country. I hear today that a lot of beans that would normally go to the PNW from the Dakotas, Minnesota, are now headed towards going to St. Louis and being put on barges in St. Louis and heading down to the Gulf, which maybe is a good thing from a quality perspective right now, because we need some good beans heading down that way, because we've had some poor weather creating some damage in some southern beans. But we sure don't need the extra volume going that way. And I think if you look at the basis levels that we are seeing throughout the country, we just have record low basis levels. Mm-hmm. And it's because, you know, we got beans that are not in hot demand. And weak demand is what causes a weak basis level. And that's what we're seeing.
You had mentioned having some success in some of the Asian countries. Are we having success in any other regions of the world?
Say a couple of other bright spots that we are seeing. You know, last year, our single biggest growth market for U.S. soy in the marketing year that just finished was Egypt. Egypt is a place where we have been working for some time. And there's two large crushing companies there. There's several other users of soy, but really two big large crushers, and they both have recently done expansions. And poultry demand, poultry production, and because of poultry demand, is growing rapidly. Aquaculture production is growing rapidly. And soy imports, you know, have been super. Soy imports into Egypt last year were 2.5 million tons, which was really, it was up from 1 million tons the year before. So super growth. And we think it can continue to grow this year. Another place, if you go a little bit further to the east, is Pakistan and Bangladesh. And you think both of those countries, Pakistan and Bangladesh, why are they growing so much? Well, they have growing economies. People want to have better diets, so they're consuming more animal protein, primarily in the form of chicken, a little bit of, you know, some fish, but chicken is the main driver. And historically, those countries used to buy their soybean meal needs from India. We've also been doing work in India for some time, trying to, as a first step in India, trying to get them to consume all the soy that they produce. And they're just about doing that. So they, India's exports of soy meal to its neighboring countries and to Southeast Asia are down to almost nothing, which is great because then these other countries need to buy from somewhere else. They know the U.S., so they buy from the U.S. Pakistan and Bangladesh, they're also, their markets are growing rapidly, so we capture their growth. So those are success markets. Then, you know, we have some old standbys that are also important markets for us. Europe, our shipments to Europe are up significantly this year, so that's, you know, they are normally kind of split their business between North America, South America. Well, with the South American beans taking more of them going to China, Europe is shifted back to the U.S., which is great. You know, another place, Japan is a good customer of U.S. soybeans. Again, splitting the business between the U.S. and South America. We're anxious to see them buying more of their beans from the U.S. They've been buying a little bit more. But I think they have a tendency to buy far deferred, and then they're kind of reluctant to unwind that program when they have it. But I think they'll be buying more from the U.S. And then, you know, we have another market that is not, I would say, not somebody we're at too much risk of losing, but certainly somebody that is important to us in terms of a country, and that's Mexico. We have the natural proximity, so it just makes sense for them to buy from us. But over the last year and a half or 2 years, we've done most everything we could to try and get them to look in other directions. Fortunately, we have the USMCA agreement now. The negotiations are finished on that. I was in Mexico 2 weeks ago, and people there are very happy to have those negotiations behind us, and their market is growing. So I think we have kind of resecured our strong position as a supplier to Mexico, and we'll capture the growth that's happening there. So that's kind of a little bit around the world, Chad. I don't know if you want more detail, but that kind of gives you, maybe that's more than you wanted already.
No, that's good. I'm looking for good news to pass along to farmers today, I'll tell you that for sure.
Well, let me give you one more little statistic that I think is, you know, this is kind of something I'm watching very closely. So year to date, our exports of soybeans, if we just talk soybeans, you know, last year to date through, I think this is through October 11th, because we get these statistics a week behind. Last year, exports had been 7 million tons since the crop year began. This year, they're just a little over 5. China last year was 4.8 million tons. Or excuse me, this year. So China last year was 5 million tons of the 7. This year, it's only 200,000 tons. So China is down 4.8 million tons.
Uh-huh.
So if you think about that another way, our total exports are down 2 million tons. China's down 4.8. So that must mean that other destinations are up that other amount. And if you go through the long list that USDA publishes and that we study carefully, you know, you see all these other destinations kind of taking more beans. So I've been telling people, if we're successful with this what it takes effort, we will still see a significant drop in exports year to date as we're in the October, November, December, January months, because that's typically when China takes their big demand pull. That's when they pull a lot of beans out of the U.S. But what we're seeing this year is much lower China, but higher other markets. And I believe as long as this Chinese situation maintains, which looks like it will for a while, that we'll have a more year-round business with those other destinations. So hopefully we will see that our exports, you know, while they're down year-to-date versus last year-to-date in these first months, we'll start to narrow that gap, and hopefully we can finish, you know, our whole What It Takes initiative is designed to get us as close as possible to having equal exports by the end of next, by the end of the marketing year that we did this past year, but with China at a much, much lower level.